Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It's Tuesday. The Packers, they're one day of availability. We just heard from Matt LaFleur. I believe some of the coordinators are speaking as I come to you live here. But it's Packers Daily time, so we're going. And hello to everybody in the comment section. Tall task for Matt LaFleur heading into Detroit on Thanksgiving. This is a game. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let me say this right here, very plainly. If the Packers win this game on Thursday, we are going to be telling our grandkids about it. The deck is definitely stacked against them, not only because the Detroit Lions are a very good team in 2023, not only because it is a short week, but the injuries to the Green Bay Packers that are piling up here. My goodness. Today, Jaden Reed was added to the injury report with a chest injury, something that apparently didn't cause him to obviously not be able to finish the game on Sunday, but came in today. Players apparently were out of the building yesterday, came into the building today, told the medical staff he's dealing with something. So he is listed as a limited participant today. And on top of that, Luke Musgrave, it's revealed, has a very serious abdomen injury, serious enough to result in a hospital visit. And apparently he is out of the hospital now, to LaFleur's knowledge, but significant injury. Needless to say, probably won't be playing on Thursday. The hits just keep on coming here. And this is on top of Dontavian Wicks being a non-participant for the second day in a row with that concussion and a knee injury. Don't expect to see him on Thursday either. You're starting to look at this as a real mountain to climb as far as cobbling together not only whoever it is you're going to be running out there to play offense for you, but cobbling together a game plan with things you can count on and guys who actually know what's being asked of them. It's a next man up mentality, but the Packers got a few men to call upon. So it's going to be a tough one on Thanksgiving, no question about it. But hey, like I said, they pull this out. Hell, name a small street after LaFleur. This is why we watch. This is the fun stuff. This is your back against the wall. The whole world expects you to lose. That's when it's so sweet when you shock the world and pull out a W. And you know what? If the Packers don't, well, you got a ton of great food to eat on Thanksgiving with your family and friends. Hopefully that'll it'll tide us over until the following game. But yeah, it's going to be a tough one. No doubt about it. Hello, everybody in the comment section. So good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Chuck is here. What's up, Chuck? How are you? Blaine Hackett. Blaine Hack, thanks for the super sticker. Appreciate you, man. Brandy is here. How are you, Brandy? Transplants tomorrow. Packers play on Thursday. What a week. Yes, Brandy. Packer Transplants Live will be coming to you here on the YouTube channel tomorrow afternoon, as always. John Simatovich, what's up? Could you imagine the media reaction if Green Bay didn't score in three straight second halves and had a top three QB in the league? Have a great Thanksgiving. John, obviously alluding to the Kansas City Chiefs, who do indeed continue to struggle in the second half. I mean, hard to score when you place the ball in the hands of a wide receiver for a winning score, a potential winning score, and he drops it. But I think most Packers fans had a bit of deja vu watching MVS drop a sure touchdown yesterday. Tough look, tough scene. You know he's going to come to Lambeau and catch one. That's like written in the stars. That's undoubtedly going to happen. Pack Daddy, what's up? Best stat from Sunday, 10 Packers caught passes. Spreading it around, old school style. Corey and I used to totally geek out about that. Back in the day when they would highlight, you know, Favre has completed passes to 10, 11 different receivers. Love that. I mean, it's a nightmare if you're a defensive coordinator, right? You have no idea where to key. You have no idea who you're trying to make sure they can't feed that guy because it could be any of them on any given play. Love to see it. Dennis, do the Packers do genetic testing to find the players most susceptible to injuries? Y'all are hilarious. Every team goes through this. Every team is banged up. Everybody is hurt in week 12 of the NFL season. It's just gradation. That is all it is. Dag, what's up? Watching this defense on third down is like being stuck in Groundhog Day. The result will always be a first down. Pain. Why you got to come up in here and tell the truth here, Dag? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. I appreciate the support. But yeah, it's It's frustrating. There's zero question about that. James says, I made a joke that we may not be able to field a team on Turkey Day, but that may actually be an issue. I mean, it'll be a team. There'll be, you know, 11 on offense, 11 on defense. That I can guarantee you. Outside of that, I can't guarantee much, though. Scott, what's up? Thanks so much for the support. AJ has been playing very hard lately. Do you think the Pack keep him next year or let him go? Very good question. I think there's a decent chance he's back, but I do think it's up to AJ and his representatives about how realistic they want to be about what kind of market they're going to find out in free agency, because I obviously think the Packers want to bring him back on a team-friendly deal, especially if he continues down the stretch here the way he's been playing for the last month. Because to your point, Scott, yes, he has been running hard. He has been playing well, absolutely night and day comparative to like the first two or three games of the year. And yeah, if he's amiable to that, I think, yeah, there's a good shot they bring him around, because I think there's value in having AJ on this in this offense, but they're not going to overpay for it. That there's zero doubt. Ed, what's up, man? So thankful for your show, especially this season. Happy Thanksgiving. Going to be tough for all those sad Lions after our victory. Could happen. I like the could happen. That's well placed. And Ed, thank you for tuning into the show. I really appreciate it, man. Joe, what's up? If Packers special teams history too much, even for Bisaccia, is Packers special teams history too much, even for Bisaccia? Possibly. I mean, been an up-and-down affair so far. You really thought he was going to have them headed in a new, better direction, but it's been a lot of the same old at times. I do think there have been glimmers, and there have been stretches where they have played better on teams, and they've looked like they're headed in the right direction, but there have also been moments where the, you know, the mistakes have come and penalties have been handed out and guys have been inconsistent. Big time mistakes have happened. So yeah, it's like Green Bay special teams curse at this point. I don't see, you know, how much you can put into, okay, Rich Bisaccia should have this turned around by now, and you would hope he'd, you know, have a squad that was better positioned, given that Brian Gutekunst's only moves this offseason seemingly were about making sure that Rich had the guys he wanted. And it's hard to watch, you know, Josiah DeGuara not even get out of his stance on a blocked extra point, or, you know, Carlson kicking things out of bounds after he had just almost done so the previous attempt. You know, that's where I'm like, what are they being asked to do? What is the coaching? Are they taking the coaching? And what are they being coached? I don't know, man. It's a bit of a mess. Donald, what's up? Dylan learned how to catch. Uh-oh, Happy Gilmore. I mean, okay, no. I have been saying this since he was drafted. He did not catch a lot in college, but that's because he was not asked to do a lot of it. I think when he's been asked, for the most part in Green Bay, and yes, he's had his drops at times, but for the most part, he's been pretty good. His hands have been decent. Better than I would have expected. So I give AJ that those props. Nathan, thoughts on Brady's comments today? Were they today or were they yesterday? I saw it last night, if I believe you're mentioning the comments that you are alluding to, which is that, you know, Tom Brady talking about how much mediocre football is being played in the NFL. I could not underline, italicize, endorse it more. He's 1,000% correct. And I understand the jokes that get off about, oh, we played in the AFCs for so long, took advantage of that, blah, blah, blah. That's not even what he's talking about. You know, the fact that the CBA and the chain, the foundation, the bedrock of the NFL changed with the last collective bargaining agreement, and how much the owners allowed the players to have as far as time off in the offseason, not, you know, the amount, same amount of work in the offseason physically. Especially, you know, coming on the padded side of things and the ability to work, you know, down in and down out for an extended period of time, especially along the offensive line. You guys have heard me talk about this for so long. But then on the flip side, you know, defensively, you're not on the grass nearly as much. You're not in, you know, meeting rooms. And I understand the player side of things wanting to, you know, oh, we can work out on our own. Yeah, I have zero doubt. I'm not worried about your physical conditioning or commitment, you know, but I do notice a rise in soft tissue injuries and ligaments and things like that, where you have been allowed to go and just build yourself up to like the peak of physical form while not being in a meeting room and not working in concert with your teammates. And the product on the field has suffered. I'm sorry. I know it's probably an unpopular opinion with the player side of things, but it's all there for you to see every Sunday. I mean, go back and watch, hell, forget like even the 90s, but even like the early 2000s, the product was much better. Quarterbacks were in the building all offseason working. I mean, think back to Mike McCarthy's quarterback school and the guys who benefited from that, you know, or go back, hell, even before that. When Holmgren was working these guys, you know, the Aaron Brooks, the Hasselbecks, all these guys, the Brunels, all year long, as opposed to now, you know, it's a couple weekends, it's voluntary, you're in, you're out. It's the foundation of the game, and they've ripped it away. And of course, look, it's not all on the players. I understand why the league has used that as a give as far as the negotiations go. Because they're, you know, and this is the whole thing behind the absurd flags and the way over officiating of football as it is now, which is another piece that's leading to the mediocrity we see every Sunday, because the NFL was so petrified by, you know, the head injuries and the brain trauma and all the stuff with CTE that they have completely overcorrected the other way. You know, it is, and most of that is, you know, so mostly, not all, but mostly cosmetic, right? What good does throwing a flag do after a dude's been hit? You know, oh, we're going to legislate it out of the game. Guys are still going to get hit. You know, everyone's signing up for NFL football. Is 20 years ago, okay, very different world. Right now, today, as dudes come into the NFL, they know exactly what they're signing up for. No one's under any illusions. There's no innocence anymore. You know, but the NFL is completely overcorrected and giving away this time in the offseason is part of that. So now we're left with this morass where, God, people can't run more than 4 or 5 plays without someone screwing up, you know, and you can barely practice during the weeks. Can't put pads on more than once a week. You're allowed to do it 14 times all year long. Again, thanks to the CBA. You know what I mean? Like, they've taken the guts of the game and just impaled it. And that has led to exactly what Tom Brady is talking about. I could not agree with him more. He's 1,000% correct. All right. Getting off that for now. Abdul, what's up, man? Hey, Aaron, have Wyatt and Slayton been an upgrade over Lowry and Lancaster? Yes. I mean, that's a simple one. I can't even go into that one deep dive because it's yes, 100% yes. Abdul, thanks again, man. Sorry to say, with all the attention of the old struggles we've paid this season, I just don't see a scenario where Barry is fired. What say you? I think there's a very real chance that Barry gets fired. I don't think, you know, it's going to happen in season, no matter how frustrating it might be at times. I don't think Matt can turn around and, you know, look Barry in the face and say, I got to let you go, while, you know, the whole first half of the season, he wasn't able to generate any offense. I just don't think that's Matt's style. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I haven't talked to him about it, but I think, you know, he'll let this play out. But I do think there's a decent chance that we get to the end of the year and Matt reassesses. He might be ready to move in another direction. Now, that's just guesswork on my part, obviously. But yeah, I don't think it's impossible that he gets fired. Matthew, what's up? Evening, Nags. Incredibly excited for Thursday. Conversely, my wife is deeply concerned for my ability to work on Friday morning. Hashtag running the table. I love your positivity, Matthew. As for working in the morning, man, it's I feel something coming on. I think you might need a doctor's note. I'll sign it for you. Can't be working on Friday, dude. You're clearly very, very ill. I mean, I think that's obvious, right? Like I said, I'll sign it for you. Just take it game by game. Gary, you could not be more correct. And that's the thing, right? I have so many people in my mentions, and God bless people like Matthew, like run the table and playoff positions. And Matt even said today at the podium, like, don't make me go all Jim Mora on you. I mean, Thursday's it. That's all that matters right now. And it's definitely a game by game proposition. Speaking of game by game, I love the fact that we're going to get week 12 out of the way early so I can just enjoy Sunday and watch football and not get kind of stressed and anxiety ridden. That's kind of the one upside of having this early game on in week 12. Chris East, what's up? Is 10 struggles with the accuracy of the deep ball something he can learn, or does he just not have that part of his game? I talked about this a little bit yesterday, Chris. Right now he doesn't have it. He's not finding consistency when it comes to the deep ball, but yes, can he hone that? Absolutely. Now, it will help when his receivers start making a few more plays for him. This is also a receiver stat, but yeah, right now he's a tick off. I don't think that's any question. I think he's been short a lot. I think he's got to recalibrate that part of his game, but they'll continue to work on it. And I suspect it'll get better. Now, I don't know if he'll ever become like a great deep ball thrower or anything like that, but man, there's a long way to go, not only in his career, but definitely in this season. I think you'll see that start to improve. You know, he's definitely got to work on it, but you know, we'll see. Steve, I love these. Stanovich arrival at offensive coordinator corresponds with fall off in offense. Oh, yeah. As well as the loss of Davante Adams and all the other veteran receivers where they turned the page and, you know, brought in lots of young guys and the ghost of Sammy Watkins. Like, man, I always say this, and it's the thing that bugs me about that kind of line drawing, right? And like, Steve, I'm not like trying to pick on you or anything, but we don't know what they're being asked to do as assistants, right? Maybe as coordinators, as far as their input into the game plan, but we don't know which plays he would like Matt LaFleur to call in certain situations that maybe aren't getting called, which formations, what things he's trying to take advantage of when it comes to the defense. Week to week, schematically, personnel wise, these are all things that they do deep dives on each and every week. And every guy's got his responsibility, but we're not privy to those. Matt LaFleur is, but we're not. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, the offense isn't putting up 30 points a game like it was, but you know who is? Precious few offenses in the NFL. Scoring is down across the league historically. You know, that's not on Adam Stanovich. That's the way defenses are playing has changed greatly, significantly. Teams are having a lot harder time generating explosive plays, putting up tons of points. It's not happening. Didn't happen much last year. It's definitely not happening this year. Look at that. I mean, the Eagles and the Chiefs, I think most people would consider them two pretty good offenses. They struggled to hit what? What did they score last night? You know? Wasn't it like it was a barn burner of a game? 21-17 that game was. You know, I just, there's a lot of levels to this, to draw that straight line for me. That's just me. Very low expectations in this game, says Sean. Green Bay has struggled against a good pass rush and they can't stop anyone. I mean, you can look at it like that. No, definitely. No doubt about it. I think that, yeah, they're good chance they're running into a buzzsaw here. But I also think, you know, they've played better. Both up front and, you know, as far as quarterback and receivers getting on the same page, things of that nature, you never know. A ball bounces your way one time, you get a big return, you know, get some momentum flowing your way. You never know. But I understand the pessimism. I get it. Like I said at the top of the stream, it's, you know, it's a tall task on Thursday. No question about it. But it's struggling against a good pass rush. I mean, they scored points and moved the ball against the Steelers in their house, and Steelers got a good pass rush. A lot of ball game left. Matthew, what's up? If we get beat magically somehow on Thursday, you know that we got to lose 7 to finish 10-7. No Super Bowl rings are given out in November. Go Pack, go! Matthew is our resident optimist. I absolutely love it. Need it. The NFL is in the dead ball era. Somewhat. You're not wrong. NFL is going to change the rules again. They just might. I mean, they're already talking about taking away the hip drop tackle. That's the new buzz, you know? They're always trying to help that offense, no doubt about it. Teddy. Oh, I love this. This is great. Do the Packers have any options with Bakhtiari next season, or can he actually just, quote, hold us hostage for another year? It's crazy he wants to continue. Seems almost spiteful. Okay, Teddy. Feels like you might be projecting something there, bud. You don't know anything about Bakhtiari's intentions. I don't know anything about them. But the man wanting to play football is not out of spite. I can guarantee you that. As far as their options, yeah, they can release him. Instead of paying and having his, you know, very significant salary cap number on their books. Now, they'd have to deal with the dead cap, which would also be significant. But, yeah, there are options. There's also the option where perhaps they work with his representatives and somehow extend slash adjust his contract. Though he has been loath, one of the few guys who's not allowed void years onto his extensions and reworks so far. Yeah, there are options. Absolutely. But I would just caution against prescribing any kind of motivation behind it outside of the man loves playing football. I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, that's just me. That's just how I roll. But it feels a little less sinister than you're making it there. Ryan, what's up? I know you don't like Turkey Day games, but do you prefer early or prime time? Oh, early. Get it out of the way. 100%. Wake up. Have a beer. Turn on the game. Let's go. I much prefer that than sitting around all day, getting nervous, you know, knots in my stomach, all that, and then wait for nighttime and then the game starts. No. Get it done. Abdul, thanks again, man. You see our offensive line fare better versus Detroit than last time? Hard to see it being worse, but it is on the road, and it is a loud-ass stadium. They're going to be jazzed for this game. That crowd is going to be electric. I don't know, man. Do I see them faring better? Slightly. But only because last time was so fucking bad. I mean, they were calling Max Protect and couldn't keep Jordan up for more than 3 seconds. They played better in the second half, no doubt about it. But the Lions were playing a very different style of game at that point. When it's 27-3 at halftime, you could just keep it all in front of you. You know, so yeah, do I expect, yeah, probably a little better. I think it's going to be rough at times, no question about it. Let's just enjoy the rest of the season, good, bad, and ugly, plus drama. Gary, I think that is definitely the prescription here. Henry Pearson get a call up with DeGuara and Musgrave both out, possibly? Absolutely a possibility, Joseph. You know, he looked decent in camp and not. Funnily enough, I don't think of him much as a blocker, but in the passing game, he actually added some stuff. So, yeah, we'll see. Ed, what's up? For the last time, Cheesehead TV sideline fan phone could only help. We're here for you, Matt. Nobody wants that. That would be a disaster. All you got to do is watch me call plays Madden. You'll know that is the last thing any Packers fan wants. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a favor, hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.